Dr. Jim Keeney, Health and Medicine Podcast, brought to you from
San Clemente, California,
at jim.md.
More fun than a colonoscopy.
Preschools, prison, college dorms, hospitals, high school locker rooms, military barracks. What do all these things have in common? The superbug, MRSA. I'm not a big media hyperbole kind of guy, but to say that this is an epidemic would be actually accurate. Studies in my area here in Los Angeles area show that up to 60% of skin infections in our area are caused by MRSA, or MRSA for short. Hello, I'm Dr. Jim Keeney, and today I want to tell you about the little bacteria that is gripping our entire nation with fear, and I believe with some good reason. When we talk about this, we're going to hopefully calm some of those fears, because I'm going to tell you how to avoid this infection and how to make sure you get treated properly. What is it? MRSA, or methicillin-resistant staph aureus, is a variation on the common staph bacteria known to cause skin infections. But this little bugger is especially nasty. It gets its name because it's resistant to a very powerful late-generation penicillin called methicillin. That is an indicator of resistance to many different antibiotics. In addition to being resistant to most oral antibiotics, this bug carries some very impressive secret weapons. It's like one of those video games your kids play where they pick up superpowers as they progress through the different levels. MRSA makes this peptide that neutralizes body's defenses against bacteria. Actually, it makes many different peptides. One causes tissue damage, and that allows the bacteria to get a foothold even on the most minor of little scratches. Then it can penetrate deep into the tissue and form an abscess, which is a pocket of pus. Ooh, gross. Well, another peptide that it makes was just discovered, just published this Sunday, in a journal called Nature Medicine. This seems to cause white blood cells, a specific type of white blood cell called neutrophils, to collapse on contact. Neutrophils are our primary white blood cell that kills bacteria, so big problem when you're trying to fight this MRSA infection. So why are we seeing this in healthy school kids, healthy athletes, otherwise healthy people, military recruits and barracks? It's all about contact. The more skin contact you have, the more opportunity you have to spread this bacteria. In the past, studies have shown that 25 to 30% of the population have the normal staph growing in their nose. And back then, we knew that about 1% of it was this MRSA. But back then, community MRSA was completely unheard of. This was exclusively an infection found in hospitals. That started changing about 10 years ago, and that's when doctors really started warning people about overuse of antibiotics. But it's just recently kind of hit the news because of the epidemic proportions that we're seeing now in the general population. In most areas, about 50% of skin infections are caused from MRSA. And that would lead me to believe that the number of people that have MRSA in their nose, which we already knew was 25 to 30% of people, had this stuff living in their nose. Now, you figure probably 50% of those at least are now MRSA or MRSA. The other problem is MRSA is a much hardier version or variety of staph aureus. It can live longer on inanimate objects like a doorknob or countertops or your computer keyboard or towels. So that creates more opportunity for spread. I'm sure you're all sitting there at your computer, if you're using a publicly accessed computer, wondering, did I just get MRSA on my fingertips? Maybe I should pause this podcast and go wash my hands right now. Not a bad idea at all. Now, what does MRSA look like when it causes an infection? We call it cellulitis. For many, it looks just like a bug bite. I can tell you that when I hear someone come to the emergency room saying that they have a bug bite or a spider bite, immediately my first thought is that this is a MRSA infection. I do not believe it's actually a bug bite or a spider bite. Now, some of those people, it may be. And they actually did an interesting study where they took little culture swabs and cultured the fangs of spiders, and guess what? They found MRSA on the fangs. So you never know. Maybe some of these people actually did start with a spider bite. But the bottom line is the spider bite and venom and all those fears of envenomation, that's not the problem now. The problem is when you come in with an infected spider bite or scratch is the infection. That's what needs to be addressed. This will often progress to a boil or an abscess, which has a sometimes a dark appearance in the center, and that's because of all the dead tissue created by those secret weapons that we talked about, the peptides. So let's talk about treatment. If you have a pocket of pus in your skin called an abscess, that needs to be drained. Antibiotics flow through the bloodstream. They can't get into an abscess because there's no blood flow through the abscess. There's no blood vessels flowing through it. So even if you get lucky, you take antibiotics and the abscess goes away, it'll often return because the bacteria stays behind. And there's a little seed of bacteria in there that has not been removed. And a lot of people don't want to hear that because it is a painful procedure, but it's one of those things we have to cause some pain to really cause a cure. Even for people who've had an abscess, this stuff is so pervasive in your body and it seems to reinfect that a lot of people will get reinfections at other sites in their body. It's very annoying. And it may be because they're being reinfected by somebody at home or by something at work or somebody at work. Now, some people will need to be admitted for IV or intravenous antibiotics, while others can take oral antibiotics at home. That is more of a decision for a doctor to make. Your doctor is going to have to make a judgment of how much risk there is involved with sending you home. And a lot of factors go into that decision. Things like if you're diabetic, you are more likely to be admitted to the hospital. I am very reluctant to send a diabetic home with this infection because your blood sugars during an infection will go up. And blood sugar is exactly what this bacteria eats. So basically, you're fertilizing this infection if you're a diabetic, and it's much harder to get rid of. There was a new study this week, though, that showed that garlic extract, an extract called allicin, is effective in killing MRSA. I guess they're trying to figure out a way to stabilize this thing so that they can put it into sprays or topical ointments or things like that. But look forward to some snake oil salesmen selling you garlic tablets as a cure for MRSA based on this study. There is no evidence that a garlic tablet taken orally will kill MRSA, but you know how it works. You get a study like this and people will run with it, and suddenly that will be the latest craze. Now, if you think you have MRSA, what do you do? Well, number one, you need to see your doctor immediately so that it can be treated early. I'm not saying you need to go to the doctor immediately for every bug bite you get, but when you get an unusually painful red sore on your skin, you may want to go to your doctor early. Make an appointment. It's not something you have to run to the ER for, but if you can get in with your doctor in the next day or so, that would really help treat this thing early and possibly avoid any surgical procedures like having an abscess drained, which we all want to avoid. For some reason, this thing has a predilection for abscesses of the buttock, as Forrest Gump would say. And the last thing you want is somebody going at your buttock with a scalpel. So try and get in early. Now, of course, the problem is you can't see your own buttock all that well. When you feel something there that's painful, get it checked out. You can either have a family member look at it, someone you trust, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a significant other of any type. This is probably not something you want to ask your boss to check. All right, or your secretary. That could definitely be construed as a sexual innuendo. Although I don't know who would be attracted to a pussy buttock. You know, there's fetishes out there, though. I won't go there. So you want to go get seen early. You want to make sure you keep the area covered because you don't want to be Typhoid Mary or Typhoid Mark and spread this thing to everyone by touching it and then shaking hands with everyone at work. Or using the same keyboard as everyone at work. So keep it covered, wash your hands real frequently. How do you prevent getting MRSA to begin with? Wouldn't that be nice? Just let's not even get it. Well, here's how you do it. Any cuts or scrapes on your skin, you want to keep them covered with a Band-Aid. First, wash them real good with soap and water. Put a little antibacterial ointment on it and cover it with a Band-Aid and keep it covered until the skin is mostly healed, you know, until it seals over. And that will avoid allowing the bacteria to get in. Number two, wash your hands frequently. Every time you shake someone's hand, every time you use something in the public sector, like a doorknob or a computer keyboard or a public telephone, any of those type of things, wash your hands frequently, and you'll avoid spreading it to both yourself and to others. The obvious is don't share personal items like washcloths or towels or especially razors, because razors will actually create the nick in your skin to allow the bacteria to get in the first place. So keep those things to yourself. That's a better way to go. And also wash those items frequently so that if they do become contaminated, that they don't spread it back to you. A lot of people are asking, how are we going to overcome this epidemic? I mean, it's just growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. There's kids dying from this. There are adults dying from it. There's pro athletes that are missing games because of this. There's jails that are being shut down because of this. MRSA, it's a major problem. Unfortunately, short of a vaccine that eliminates it, I think it's here to stay, just like staph has been here to stay for many years. One alternative to antibiotics would be probiotics. These are good bacteria that potentially compete with MRSA to live in the same space. And if they consume all of the resources or food that MRSA would normally survive on, then they could play some role in eliminating MRSA in the future. And I really think that this is a way to kind of live in harmony with bacteria. You know, you use the good bacteria to keep the bad bacteria at bay. We know that's true in your gut. Whenever you take antibiotics, you're at risk for getting diarrhea, and that's because you've wiped out the good bacteria. And on top of that, you could get an infection with another superbug that we'll discuss some other time called C. difficile or Clostridium difficile. And that is because difficile, difficult. It's a difficult bacteria to deal with once you get it. But, you know, probiotics in that situation have been shown to really help. I think we need to use that in this situation as well. Vaccines have been tried in England, and it looked great. It looked so good, I invested in the stock. The stock was NABI. N-A-B-I is the symbol, and it's also the title of the company. I invested in them because I thought, wow, this is incredible. The studies in England show a good benefit. All we need for FDA approval is to repeat the studies here, and it's a sure deal. Well, guess what? The studies failed miserably here in the U.S. Something about the way they did it here either did not work, or the studies in England were just good studies by random chance. So those studies didn't work, but I really think that in the future, if we can develop a vaccine for this, wow, that would be a license to print money, basically, because this would be a vaccine that every man, woman, and child in the world would need, and it would save bazillions of lives. I would jump on the bandwagon, not just because I would be invested in that stock, but because I think it's a good thing. So for now, what can we do? Stay alert, stay informed, stay clean, wash your hands real frequently is your best bet. Until next time, take care. Be sure to sign up for my podcast so you never have to come back to this website. You never have to miss any future broadcasts. You'll be able to hear every update automatically downloaded to your iPod or whatever MP3 player you happen to be using. You can go to iTunes and subscribe, or you can subscribe directly on my website at www.jim.md. Take care.
You've been listening to a podcast by Dr. Jim Keeney. You can hear more at www.jim.md.
Subscribe to my podcast now.
Don't miss another episode.